Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley is behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. It's how you hop aboard on this Wednesday night. We'll get back to the phone lines here as we discuss Andy Reid, Howie Roseman, and who's the most responsible here for the success of this franchise the last 20 years? I think for a long time, Reid would have been the answer over and over. And he even got credit when they won the Super Bowl 5 years ago because Doug was here and Nick Foles was here. And a lot of those players were still in their prime that he was part of that. But as we've moved on from this, this is now two Super Bowls built by Howie. A championship built by Howie. And maybe the best Eagles team ever built by Howie. Different coach, different quarterback. I believe Howie surpassed Andy in terms of importance to this franchise over the last 20 years. We'll get back to that. And, of course, our top five quarterback lists here. I go Brady, Montana, Manning, Peyton. And then number four, I got Mahomes at number four. He's in already for me. And I put Steve Young at number five. Curious for yours. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to all that. But I want to bring on a guest here, a Philly guy, one of my favorite broadcasters out there in the baseball world for the Seattle Mariners, and I'm sure proud of his Eagles right now in the Super Bowl, so we'll talk some football here, and then some baseball, which I love talking, but we haven't talked much on this time slot in a while because we've been caught up in this Eagles team, in this run they've had. Let's bring on Dave Sims, play-by-play voice of the Seattle Mariners, along with doing a lot of college hoop stuff. Dave, how you doing tonight?
Doing well, Joe. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Excited for you to hop on and talk to us here. Dave, tell us about enjoying this Eagles run, and at what point of this year did you realize, like, we got a really special team this year?
Well, you know, I thought that the maturation of Hurts as a passer, I mean, my last memory of him last season was the game against Tampa, and I'd just done a Villanova game down at Wells Fargo, and I drive up to my brother's place, and right there in Philly, and I get there, and he's not completing too many passes. And my brother said, "You might as well beat traffic and go home," and I did. And it was, it was not a good game, by him in that game. But I was impressed as the season went along. I didn't get to see all the games, I live up here in New York, and I'm at the mercy of Red Zone. But there was so much to like, particularly about the run game, the O line, the D line, and for the most part, a lot of the key players. They stayed healthy. It's been a great season. It's been a fantastic run. And, I was on with Chris Russo on MLB Network, and we talked about football. I think we did baseball, or as much football as we talked baseball. Because, I go back, a lot older than you. I go back to the 60 championship, Van Brocklin, McDonald, Tim Brown, Ted Dean, Chuck Bednarik, and Pete Retzlaff, and that whole crew. So, lifelong Eagle fan, and real happy for the team, the organization, and the city.
Yeah, it is special. Dave, your phone is actually a little bit, it's choppy. Let's get Dave on a better line here. We'll get him back up. But you know what? You think about that and where this organization has been compared to where they are now, it's remarkable. I mean, I remember when I was young, the Eagles were not a good team. I mean, when I was very young, they were good in the late 80s, but then the beginning of the 90s was not very good. I mean, once that 90-91 team fell off and the Kotite thing, and they just kind of got rudderless there for 4 or 5 years. Obviously, what Ray Rhodes did was it got them back up a little bit, but they were rudderless. And then Andy came in, and they did with it. Let's get Dave Sims back up here. Dave, you mentioned it there. Watching them back in the day. I mean, how remarkable is it how good of a franchise they become? Because that wasn't what this always was. I mean, last 20 years, we brought it up earlier, only the Patriots have more title game appearances than the Eagles now. It's just crazy to say that out loud.
No, it's all good, man. It's all good. Enjoy it, you know. There's nothing to complain about. You're here. You're in this time. I mean, you know, I'm not spending a whole lot of time looking backwards. I'm enjoying what's going on with these cats. I like what they do with the pass rush. I like the DBs. I mean, you got a good kicker. There's so many good ingredients to this team.
Dave, how about Jalen Hurts? You know, you've been someone, obviously, a fan for years in different sports, you know, whether it be hoops, whether it be baseball, and obviously a fan of the Eagles. I've made the point earlier, I don't know if I've ever seen a quarterback improve as much as he did in such a short period. He's always gotten incrementally better since he was at Alabama, but, I mean, we're watching a quarterback that took a leap from where he was last year to an MVP finalist. It's just crazy how much he jumped in 1 year.
Well, there was a great piece in The Athletic the other day talking about how his dedication, his work ethic is off the chart. And, you know, he comes from championship caliber from his college days, and he's a real smart guy. And I know last year, one of the one of the things I noticed is that he was so used at Alabama to having guys always running free. Well, you know, you get in the NFL, as you know, to fit it into tighter windows, and I think he's done a heck of a lot better job of that. Plus, he does have some talented receivers. I mean, I love the tight end, love the two wideouts. So it's you know, you need a good quarterback to win it all. It's a big help. And defense, I know defense wins championships. You still got to score. Now he's good, man. He's good. Enjoy it. That's all I can really say. But the kid has been fantastic. You applaud his work ethic. You know, he's highly skilled. You know, his old man was a coach. He's a lifer, and he's a guy that's going to be remembered in Philly for a very long time.
Yeah, he's fun, and he's won this town over. Dave, let's talk some baseball here. I mean, we're just a couple weeks away from the start of spring training. It's weird in Philadelphia. Usually, I love baseball, and I love talking it, and we do a lot of spring training stuff, off-season stuff, and just been caught up in this Eagles thing. But what's your thought on this Phillies team and where the franchise is right now after the run last year? I mean, they had all those years, right? 19, 20, 21, where they were in the fringe of the race, right? They were there, you know, you kind of look at like, they're 3, 4, 5 out. They got a chance, but they never got there. And it was a long postseason drought. And they got in last year, Dave, and it was an incredible run. I mean, it just was amazing watching them go from can't make it to they just broke the door down once they got in and got all the way to the World Series. What do you think about the team Dombrowski's assembled here?
They've done a hell of a job. I mean, we saw the Phillies out at our place in Seattle. I want to say it was May. I believe they took 2 out of 3. And, you know, they were scuffling a little bit after that. And that was a team you looked at. It looked like a softball team that they were going to have to win every game 10-9, 15-14. But obviously coming down the stretch, you know, things materialized. A couple of guys stayed healthy. I mean, it's the same story all the time. If you can keep your studs healthy and you get some guys, you know, with some support guys. Now, you know, you're talking to Seattle Mariners broadcast. I'm on the other coast. I don't see the Phillies that often. But I know what I saw in the playoffs, and I thought, Realmuto is just tremendous. I thought the pitching was good. Harper was fantastic. And, you got a hell of a club there. And I understand that I'm not surprised if you tell me that season tickets are through the roof. It would make a heck of a lot of sense. It's a good ball club. Battle their ass off. I mean, it's so much fun. And I enjoyed watching the World Series, watching them in the playoffs, especially the San Diego series. I thought that was thrilling. And Harper coming up with that big home run. And then, you know, they run into Houston. You know, I know all about Houston. They've got it all. It's a good ball club. And we had them in the second round after we upset Toronto in Toronto in the division series. And the Mariners roughed up Verlander in game one of that series, and then we wound up losing on an Alvarez home run, walking off in the ninth, and then they closed us out in game three in an 18-inning game. So looking at a Mariner team that's poised and ready to go, man. Young, Julio Rodriguez, best player we've got, is going to be considered one of the best players in baseball, American League Rookie of the Year. We got good pitching. We catch the ball. We get some hitting to improve on, and I think that's going to happen. So if you folks in Philly, if you want to stay up late at night and watch some West Coast baseball, the Mariners are a team you want to watch. And the whole division is going to be even better. The Angels have picked up a lot of new guys, and so is Texas.
Dave, we're talking to Dave Sims here, play-by-play of the Mariners, Philly guy, talking about the Eagles, and, of course, the MLB season coming up to spring training in a couple of weeks. Dave, it's interesting, you know, the juxtaposition. that's, you know, the city here in Philadelphia that you're from and the team you cover and broadcast, same situation last year, but trying to break a long playoff drought. And Dave, as you said, you saw the highlights, saw what it was like here in Philadelphia during the postseason. I thought it was awesome watching the crowd out there. I think it was maybe it was the catcher, Cal Raleigh, at the home run in one of those games.
Home run, the 3-2 pitch, pinch hit home run to win it, and ended a 20-year drought. Playoff drought, longest playoff drought in North American professional sports. Big moment. The today, earlier, you know, I live in here in New York City, but I was watching online the pre-spring training media day and listening to front office guys, the team president, Jerry Dipoto, and the skipper, Scott Servais, and listen to the questions, listen to some of the answers from the players. The optimism's off the chart, and I tell you, the Mariners are not going to sneak up on anybody this year. And I think they really did a good job making a name for themselves last season with that great second half that they had. And, you know, sort of closing the gap just a little bit on Houston, which is still a great team and the world champions.
Yeah, and we saw that. Dave, what was it like, just that atmosphere and that crowd? Because I know here I got a chance to go to a good number of the playoff games. The Rhys Hoskins home run game I was at. I was at game one against the Padres, and all of the World Series games here. So the atmosphere was almost like pent up energy of for, you know, in Philadelphia, a decade without the postseason. It all came out. The crowd was amazing. What was it like out there? You said that drought. What was it like watching those fans celebrate that?
I'll see and raise you, because you got a decade. We got 20 years of drought, okay? So a lot of misery, frustration, a lot of just missed opportunities coming down to 2 years ago. Mitch Haniger had a big eighth inning single to keep us alive in game 161. And this was, let's see, we swept the two games in Toronto, and we played the first two games in Houston. So we only had that one playoff game. We lose game 3 of the second round. But I'm telling you, the game went 18 innings. And once it got into 18, the energy was electric the entire way. The pitching, every pitch was worth, you know, felt like your life was on the line. And the fans there, and we probably jammed in 50,000. I'm sure they didn't announce that, but I'm sure it was 50,000 people in the ballpark. They stood that last 9 innings and never wavered whatsoever. And if you go back and look at those highlights, you can hear the volume that these cats, that, you know, our fans, the Mariner fans, were churning out. I mean, it was a big time situation. Got to remember, the Mariners had some glory years. Didn't make the World Series, but they had some great teams in the mid '90s. Couldn't get over the hump. And I think right now this organization right now is poised to, you know, be a perennial challenger, you know, for a championship in the American League and maybe even a World Series.
Dave, as we get closer to the start of spring training and the season, what's your feeling on the rule changes they made? For them, against them? We got the pitch clock coming in. We got the larger bases coming in. Little bit of a change on the shift. What do you think about what they did here?
It's all good. I'm all in on everything. It's an entertainment vehicle. You know, we've been losing fans. We've been losing TV numbers. This will hopefully speed up the game. And, you know, it's true. You'll get a chance to see a little bit more athleticism, you know, no more shifting, and hopefully it'll be some more base stealing. You know, they made the bases a little bit bigger. I don't see how that's going to necessarily increase base stealing, but the fact that you can't throw over, but, you know, a restricted amount of time. Right now, if you don't, you know, as things start in spring training, if you don't take advantage of that, you're foolish. But I think all these measures are going to work.
Dave, last one for you. They've smoothed out the schedule as well. They've changed it where every team's going to see each other and not as many division games, which I think is good. I think it's good for fans. I think it makes things a little fairer. If you have more wild card teams, if you have one bad team in your division, it kind of throws the whole thing off and you could have an advantage. But it also means, you know, fans get to see more players. And, Dave, you've gotten to see a lot of Shohei Ohtani over the last few years of that division. Tell us about what it's like to watch that guy do both and do it live, because I'm just amazed every time I watch him on TV.
He really could win the MVP every year. I mean, he is an elite pitcher. He's an elite hitter. He can run. If they let him play in the outfield, he'd be a great outfielder. He's got a great arm. The guy's just unbelievable. He's got every pitch in the book. He's fantastic. Good-looking kid, runs like crazy. And, you know, they've had their problems out there. They had a ton of injuries. Rendon went down. Trout missed most of the season last year. They picked up a lot of pitching this year. We'll see what happens. But Ohtani is – he's unbelievable is what he is. And, you know, on a, say on a grading scale of 10 being best, he's a 9-plus in every category. I mean, he does everything well at the highest order.
He
great
is,
player. And I tell you what, if the Angels do come – I think the Angels do come to Philly this year.
They do. Late August, yep.
Yeah, and we come in April, late April. If I were a Philly sports fan, I would make sure I'd go online or whatever you have to do, go down to the bank and buy tickets to that Angel series. And come see our ball club, too, because we're pretty good.
Yeah, you are. Maybe a future World Series matchup. Dave, I appreciate you hopping on. Enjoy the rest of the time here before spring training, and we'll catch up again. Thank you.
You bet, Joe. Thanks, man. Be
there,
good.
There he goes. Dave Sims, voice of the Mariners, Philly guy, cheering on the Eagles here as we go. And I just haven't wrapped my mind around how close we are to the Phillies. Maybe it'll hit me once the Eagles are done, like hopefully a parade. I think we mapped it out, right? A parade could happen the day the Phillies start spring training. I think it's around that time. I mean, we are so close. And usually, you know, in every year the Eagles haven't been in the Super Bowl, we're literally in countdown mode. What was our segment that we would do? Clearwater check-in.
We would do hot stove check-in.
Right.
And then we'd do Clearwater check-in. I'm pretty sure pitchers and catchers report on the 15th.
So we're 2 weeks away?
It'd be the Wednesday after the Super Bowl, and I don't mean to be presumptuous, but if the Eagles were to win the Super Bowl and the parade follows the same route it did last year, the Phillies would be back in spring training the day before we could be potentially celebrating an Eagles Super Bowl victory.
Yeah, I think a couple things are part of why it's almost like we forgot. One, the Eagles are in the Super Bowl. That's the biggest reason. Two, the Phillies did all of their business, their offseason business, so early in the offseason. You know, typically there's still stuff going on. I mean, think about the Bryce Harper chase. That went all the way into spring training. Last year, because of the lockout, they couldn't make any moves until March, and they signed Castellanos, which was a disaster, and they signed Schwarber, and they did what they did. But this year, they did it all right, you know, right away. Like late November, Trey Turner was here. It's almost like they haven't done anything for the past couple months because they really haven't had to.
Got it wrapped up before the holidays.
What was the biggest thing they've done recently? The Soto trade, right? They got Soto, the reliever.
Well, they signed Josh Harrison the other day.
During the Eagles game.
In the middle of the Eagles game, mind you.
Yeah, we got to talk to Dabrowski about that. I mean, what are we doing? I mean, I can't wrap my mind around Philly's depth. I actually like Josh Harrison. I've always been a Josh Harrison fan. I wonder, though.
Remember when he was here?
Yes. Doesn't he feel a little redundant with Sosa? That was my thought when I saw it. Unless one of those guys could play the corner outfield and it's almost a Vierling, you know, like a replacement for Vierling against lefties. I wonder what how versatile. I mean, Harris is older, so let's not go crazy with how versatile he could be in the outfield. I mean, I don't know if he's going to be running around there. Sosa, though, didn't they run him in the outfield a couple times last year?
They might have, and it looks like Harrison did play left field a couple times. Last season for Chicago. Played 8 innings in left field, so I wouldn't get that excited about it. But, yeah, I did think it was redundant, and maybe he's just replacing Maton. But once again, still don't have a second center fielder.
No.
Unless they're really into who's the kid they brought up last year? Guthrie. Unless they're into Dalton Guthrie, where they signed Jake Cave. But he's a lefty, too.
It might be Dalton Guthrie. Wasn't Dalton Guthrie on the postseason rosters? He was active.
He was. I don't know if he was for every series, but he was for most of the run.
Some of them, yeah. I feel like Dalton Guthrie is going to be a trivia question one day. Like, name the roster in the NLCS or what? I think he was definitely on the Braves roster. But name the roster throughout the postseason. And you know what? We'll be able to name a lot of those guys. Dalton Guthrie will just slip the mind unless he becomes more of a part of this as we move on. But, yeah,
in one game in the NLDS.
Okay. I'm not against the signing of Josh Harrison at all. I just wonder how it all pieces together because he also hits right-handed, like Edmundo Sosa. It does feel redundant within the infield. Not sure how they're going to use all these guys. And I do. I still wonder who's playing center field against lefties because as we saw last year, they didn't think Brandon Marsh could do it. I mean, they traded for him. They obviously like him, and I think he showed some strides when he got with Kevin Long compared to what he was doing with the Angels, but they didn't let him play against lefties. It was always Vierling.
And maybe it's a little different this year, and they give him a little bit of a longer leash in April and May to see if he can figure it out, because you also gave up Logan Ohapi to get this guy, right? They clearly think he can be an everyday center fielder, and if that's the case and they think they can improve his bat to the point where he's capable of doing so, then he's going to have to get some at-bats against lefties. You can't keep him under wraps as a strictly platoon player for the entire season.
No, and I don't even remember. Did we react to the Soto trade maybe a little bit the night after it happened or the weekend after it happened?
I don't even remember when it happened. Was that Christmas?
It happened around Christmas. They traded for Soto, the relief pitcher from...
It was the Friday before Christmas. So, like, the 23rd.
Yeah, I mean, and then we've just been so caught up in the Eagles since, and we just haven't spent much time talking about it. Look, I like the trade because I don't think they gave up a significant amount. Though I do think we have to pump the brakes on our expectations for him. I mean, I know he's been an all-star the last couple of years. He was an all-star because he pitched for the Tigers, and they needed to send somebody. I mean, he's much closer to Jose Alvarado before he figured it back out this year than he is like a guy I totally trust. I look at Soto as more of a replacement for Brad Hand than anything else. Like, that's what I think the role he will have. And I mean, he has upside to be better than that. He throws really hard. But I'm not sold they got an all-star. I think they got a guy who's gone to the all-star game.
Yeah, I mean, he's been an all-star because Detroit's been an absolute garbage fire for the last couple of years. And what bothers me with him is he has unreal stuff, right? You can sit there and you can watch YouTube videos of him throwing his fastball 101
yep.
down the pipe for hours. His K per 9 last year was 9.
I know.
But, like, he struck out guys at the same rate as like Kyle Gibson last year, despite having all-world stuff. And maybe Caleb Cotham and the Phillies pitching staff can figure out how to get more out of him than Detroit was. But this guy clearly has all the talent in the world. He's not lacking for raw stuff. Mm-mm. But the fact that he still just isn't even getting people to swing and miss is scary.
Yeah, the other thing I thought was just interesting with the hype around the team or just where we're at. Matt Gelb over the Athletic, they do like the what do they call it? Like the survey, they do the fan survey. And I mean, before I even clicked it, I didn't get to actually vote. I just missed that. But I went to click the results of the survey, and I noticed this the other day. And it's so different than last year. Last year, there was very little faith in the front office, little faith in ownership, little faith in the roster. Well, I mean, you go to the World Series, and it certainly changes the feeling. But the one that blew me away, because I was scrolling through this to see how people felt as we get closer to the start of spring training and just the temperature of the fan base as we head towards that. The one that blew me away more than anyone else, it was like, just think about where we were a year ago. So the question was, will the Phillies return to the World Series in the next 2 seasons? Did you see the results on this? I found the number amazing. Yes, with 75.5%. No, obviously 24%. It didn't say the next 5 or the next decade. The next 2 seasons.
Like this year or next year?
Yes. It's really hard to go back to the World Series. And I think they've gotten better. I mean, Trey Turner makes them a better team, and they had a star player, but boy, the confidence level is very high.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they made the playoffs by the skin of their teeth last year.
Oh, I didn't forget.
And I do appreciate that they approached this offseason like a team that made the playoffs by the skin of their teeth and not a team that won the pennant, right? They've improved themselves, you know, quite a bit, especially for the regular season. They've added depth across their pitching rotation and their lineup. They should be able to win 90-plus games, I think, this year. That isn't too much to ask, but I don't know. What if the Brewers get better, right? What if the Marlins get better? What if the Reds take a step forward? I mean, the Reds are atrocious, but there are other teams, the Giants, right? They won 116 games 2 years ago. There mm-hmm. are teams who took massive step backs last year that were close to the Phillies in 2022. They could take a step forward, too. And that was something I worried about last year. I don't know. I know that there's a deeper and playoff picture, but I don't know. They're still the third best team in their division.
Well, I'm just curious how they handle prosperity. Right? Look, we hadn't seen this team make the playoffs in a decade. Okay, well, how do they respond to that? Are they going to take the next step and go win a championship? Like, was last year, like, they're itching to get back and win
sometimes
it?
Sometimes it's a launching pad.
Sometimes it is, and then sometimes it's just a fluky thing. I mean, we don't know until we start this thing off, but there's an expectation that it was a launching pad, right? When you get 75% of fans saying they're going to make the World Series in the next 2 years, that's an expectation it was a launching pad. I can't wait to watch it. I mean, I can't wait for spring training to see Trey Turner, Phillies Jr., see Andrew Painter. He's 19. and is going to be vying for a spot in the rotation. I can't wait for that. 215-592-9494. That was fun talking to baseball. On the other side, we'll react. Sixers, Magic, did they pull off another win, or was it a mess against the Magic? We'll talk about it next on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.